turning Luke chapter 14 this morning. Verse 15 is where we want to start this morning. And as we think about the invitation to those that we are inviting for Vacation Bible School, as we take time and we invite people for revivals and for people on church on Sunday morning, that we need to continue, no matter how many times they tell us I'll be there and don't show up, continue to invite, continue to ask, continue to seek the lost that are dying and going to hell that need to know about Jesus. Continue to seek those that have got backslidden and out of the will of God, out of church, wherever it may be. And we need to pray and we need to ask God to open our eyes that we can see what's going on in other people's lives. Too often when things go, we don't get good service, or we don't someone treats us bad, we don't know what's went on in their life. And sometimes we get upset because of the way that we're treated, and people don't know what we've been through. But we need to always remember to have the compassion of Christ. He knew what each one of us would go through every day, and He knew that we need to keep bidding those to come in to the house of God. Now, we've had folks, as they've drove by the roadside down here, that have just pulled in the parking lot and came in for church that was on vacation. We've had people that was walking that ended up coming to church and staying for a while with us there. And just different times that people have just felt the need to come in God's house. I pray that you felt a need and a blessed opportunity, a blessed privilege this morning to be in God's house. But there's still so many seats. There's still room in God's house. There's still room in God's kingdom. There's still room in God's heaven for the lost and dying this morning. And we need to be about the Father's work and about the Father's business, inviting people to church and inviting them for Vacation Bible School, inviting them to get involved with the youth, inviting them to get involved with the choir, inviting them to get involved with revival, and us be involved as well, not just ask others, but that we lead by example and that we get involved with God's house. And I know that we've got many that are involved, but we just need a reminder that we need to keep on keeping on, keep on working for God, keep on inviting. Though we may invite 100 people in one show, or we might invite 200 people and nobody show, but keep on asking, keep on planting, keep on working and sowing the seed of God, keep on showing that love and inviting people to God's house, because there's still room, as we're going to see in Luke chapter 14, 15 this morning. It says, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these sayings, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now, I'm thankful this morning that there's many of us here that are saved, ready to go, that are going to be eating in the kingdom of God, eating bread at God's table. I'm thankful this morning that His body was the bread that was broken on the cruel cross of Calvary, that we, as we have the Lord's Supper, that we're able to take in His body represented by the bread. And here it tells us again in God's Word that blessed are them that are going to eat bread in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you that it's a blessed thing to do and a blessed opportunity to know that I'm going to be sitting down with Jesus one day at the marriage supper of the Lamb, because He invited me and bid me to come. Now, earlier on in this chapter of Luke 14, when it was talking about blessed are they that are going to eat bread in the kingdom of God, what they were talking about, He told them that when they went to a supper that was prepared, a great banquet that was prepared, for them not to go in and take up the uppermost chamber where the place of honor was for the guests that were invited to the banquet, but to come in and sit at a lesser place, lest that whenever they're sitting in the most popular seat, that the master of the ceremonies or master of the banquet might come and tell them, say, look, this seat's not for you. You need to go down further. But to humble yourself and take up the lower spot, that we may come to you and say, listen, friend, you're sitting in the wrong place. You're at the table of honor. Come on up further and come up higher into the place of honor instead of being dishonored and asked to move down. Let me tell you, in God's house, I'm glad that there's no other seats except to humble ourselves and come before God. And we all have a seat that's going to be right beside Jesus. We're going to have a seat that's going to be next to Him in a kingdom that He's prepared, that we're all His children, that He's going to be able to smile upon us, and He's going to be able to sit down, and we're sitting down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's going to gird Himself. But Jesus was telling them, look, don't raise yourself, excuse me, higher than you ought to. To remember and humble yourself And that's what we need to do. As children of God, we don't need to raise ourselves above the sinner. We are forgiven by the grace of God. But we need to remember that once we were like they were. Don't think they're dirty and they're going to contaminate you if you speak to them, invite them to church. Because that stuff's not going to stick to you. The sin of this world shouldn't stick to a Christian. Because you should have God's Scotch guard on your life that it don't stick. But we must walk close to Him and we must understand and continue to bid those that are lost to God's house. Don't get satisfied that you're saved, your family's saved, your friends are saved. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those that are out here today that are on drugs and alcohol. Pray for those today that have sexual addictions and things that need Jesus in their life to fill that void that they're trying to fill in the things of this world. We need to pray and bid them to come, that one day that they'll be able to sit in heaven with us and be able to break bread and eat at the Master's table. Verse 16 says, "Then said he unto a certain, and unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." Now when we start reading this, we can see a portrait of God and Jesus. God the Father that was preparing the great banquet, Jesus, God's servant that came to earth to do the will of the Father, coming to bid us to come to the banquet that's prepared. God has prepared it. God has prepared a heaven that we can go to if we're saved. And we see here that representing both God and Jesus in their work and what they have accomplished and the things that they've done. And Jesus being the messenger unto mankind, coming and walking among us, being the Word, come alive and made flesh, that He could speak to us and invite us and bid us to come because things are prepared. But just like the folks that we're going to see, we often make excuse. We often say, "Oh, I've got this to do. Oh, I've got that to do. Oh, that's the wrong time to have revival. That's the wrong time to have vacation Bible school. That's the wrong time to do this. That's the wrong time to do that because I can't be there." Sometimes we need to line up and do, and if you can be there, great. And be there to bless God, but we can't schedule everything on everybody else's calendar. We have to schedule it and us line up with God's calendar. And whenever we come together and we don't make excuse, God blesses us. We've been blessed. And when we don't think about what all I've got to do and we think about what God needs done, we see God bless us and He pours them out to us and He's poured them out here for the last 4 or 5 years that we've got. We can't contain the blessings that God's poured out to us. Seeing Christabella take off on them crutches. Boy, I tell you, that's something I couldn't do. I had my broke ankle, I couldn't get on them. She'd fly through here. She can run faster than I can. She's on them, got three legs right now that's working. And she can just go on them things. I couldn't do that. God's blessed her. He's poured out blessings that we're able to be able to do that we didn't think that we could do. But oftentimes we make excuse. In verse 18, it says, "And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go to see it. I pray thee, have me excused." How many of y'all ever bought a pig and a poke? Not many people's going to do that, are they? Boy, man, you don't have people just show up at the Dixon Realty there and just write a check for a piece of property and never look at it, never check it out. They want to know about it. They go look at it first. This guy's saying, "I bought a piece of property, and now I got to go see it." Let me tell you, you better check things out first. Don't make the excuse when time comes to do what God's asking us to do. Do you find some convenient excuse that we try to make? But he bought a piece of property. You better check that thing out beforehand and not buy a pig and a poke because it could be swampland. It could be the Brooklyn Bridge that somebody's trying to say that they swear they've got a deed to. And if you're not careful, you'll get taken in. Just as many today are taken in by what the world offers. Being taken in because they're not in the right relationship or the right place with God. And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused." Once again, most of you that are in livestock, you don't just go pay somebody for something without seeing them. They might tell you they're fat and healthy, and you go get them and you can see the ribs in their sides. They couldn't work together because you got one that weighs 100 pounds, one weighs 300 pounds, and they just ain't the right size to work together unequally yoked. One wants to go left all the time, one wants to go right all the time. They run into each other, or they pull against one another. That's not going to work together. But yet he'd make an excuse, I've got to go prove them now. You need to prove them before you buy them. Before you make a promise to God, you better make sure that you're going to be able to fulfill that promise. Before you take on responsibilities in the work of God, make sure that you've prayed about it and God will help you be able to fulfill those responsibilities. But he made excuse. There's a song that used to be, excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. The devil, he'll supply them if from church you'll stay away. You don't have to look for one. All you got to do is just say, I'm not going to church today. And boy, Satan will start spitting them out. Yeah, it's too hot. It's too cool. Fans turn too fast. Fan turns too slow. Preacher's too loud. Preacher's too quiet. He's got sweaty hands when we shake hands. Satan will give you excuses. Satan will give you excuses. You don't have to really look. He'll provide them. Made excuses. Excuses. Today there's people making excuses. They'll say one thing one day and they catch them on tape. They say something another day, catch them on tape, and they're contradicting one another. We should be as good as our word. And when we promise to do something, do that. And when we promise God to love Him with all of our heart, we should do that. We should serve Him with all of our mind, body, and soul. And it's not easy. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why He sent Jesus, to help us be able to have the strength to go on, to be able to endure the bombardment of this world against our soul. Because we're not of this world. We may be in it, but not of it. I'm a citizen of heaven, traveling through this foreign country, living in the United States just for a little while. But my citizenship is in heaven. Because Jesus provided that when He went to the cross of Calvary, that I could be saved. I didn't need a passport, but I did need a price to be paid, and Jesus paid it. And He wrote my name down upon the sheet in the Lamb's Book of Life that put on there, September the 18th, 1986, Brad Wooten was saved and made a preparation. His place is prepared. And gave me passage to be able to inherit that one day. Already an eternal being. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Here we go. Start blaming the women. Adam started it back there. Well, the woman gave me to eat instead of standing up and being responsible. He said, I've married a wife and I cannot come. I cannot come. Reminds me of the farmer, though, at time when the preacher went by, new preacher in the neighborhood. And he went by to the old farmer, and he was out there sitting the corner fence post. And the preacher said, are you lost? I probably told this before, but bear with me, I'll tell it again. He said, no, said, I've lived here all my life. He said, no, you don't understand. Said, are you ready for the rapture? He said, well, when is it? He said, well, it could be today, it could be tomorrow. He said, don't tell my wife, she won't go both days. Friend, you better be prepared for the rapture to take place. It's going to happen. There's folks that think we're going through the tribulation period. Let me tell you, we are not going through the tribulation period now. Whether your thoughts are on who's leading us from the White House, He is not the Antichrist. He may have a spirit about Him that presents that, but He is not the one that it talks about in Revelation. We are still here, church, and God's Word lets us know that He will keep us from that great hour of temptation, that we will not have to see those things that are going to take place. But if we make excuse, and we don't have the knowledge, and we don't study God's Word, we can be driven to and fro by every wind of doctrine, just as they were in the New Testament time, so we still can be today. We must be anchored in Jesus, steadfast in His Word, and the only way we can do that is to know the Word of God. that we can feel His presence. Not just know that He's there, but we can feel Him in our very soul. That when we are outside enjoying His nature and we feel the breeze on a hot day, we know that God is there. When we see the beauty that comes forth from the flowers and the trees, we know that God's there. When we see the control of a storm that God has, we know that He's still there. When we see the birth of a child, we know that God is still there. And He's still in charge. And He's still looking down upon us and still wanting to bless us. These people that were invited had blessings waiting for them, but they made excuse. Friend, how many times maybe have you missed blessings because you made an excuse and missed the blessing of God? Verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. I'm glad that whenever I was in all these, because I was all these, I was poor, I was maimed, I was halt, I was blind because I didn't see, couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't do the things, could not obtain heaven on my own. But Jesus came and said, come hither. The Master calls you. It's all prepared. All you have to do is come. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as Thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Friend, there is still room in New Hope Church. There is still room in the family of God. And there is still room in God's kingdom in heaven. There is still room for those that will accept Jesus as their Savior. He's still calling those to repentance. Will all repent? It's sad to say they won't. Hardened hearts, calloused lives, thinking that we have to do something to cleanse ourselves to be acceptable to God. Friend, you can't clean yourself up good enough to be acceptable to God. If you could, Jesus would not have died. But He came that you might be clean. And yet, there is room. There is room. Been places in time because someone was dirty, didn't have the advantages that some had, that they were looked down upon. Shame on us if we ever do that. God help me that I might see their need. Except by the grace of God, that could be us in that situation. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you've been in the highways and hedges this week. Compelling. I preached this one time and talking about compelling them to come in. A gentleman came to me and said, I don't think y'all preach yet. To compel means to make them come in by force. No. To beg people to come to Jesus. That's what this compelling is talking about, to compel them. Beg them to come into the house of the Lord. Beg them to get ready. Beg them to get ready to see Jesus in His kingdom. Beg them to turn hell aside and accept the blood of Jesus in their life. This is one time when begging should be a good thing, that children of God beg those that are lost to come in, to live a life before them that would compel them to come in. Say, hey, I want what they've got. I see something in them that's different. They've got a joy that I can't understand and can't explain. Friend, I can't explain it either, except it's Jesus. That when things are going wrong, that you can still be happy in Jesus. That you can still have strength, that you can still put a smile on your face and say, I'm doing pretty good. And not lie about it. I'm doing great. I'm overweight. I got cataracts. I got diabetes. But I'm doing great because I've got a body that's waiting on me that's not going to know this corruption. I've got gray hair. I need glasses. and all these things, but thank God I got a body that's perfect waiting me. Brad's going to leave this one that's fallible and going to take up residence in the one that's not. One that's going to be able to stand in the presence of Jesus and look at Him and thank Him about His feet. See those scars that He took. The only thing that man, you know the only thing man ever made that entered into heaven? The scars in Jesus' hands and feet. He put His blood upon the mercy seat. He did it for you and me, that we could be saved. And He's still bidding us to come. To come. That His house may be filled. Oh, there's no use, preacher. People just ain't going to receive it no more. With an attitude like that, they won't. Do you think the ant gives up? No. It keeps on doing its job, no matter what. Do you think the bees give up? No. God programmed them to do a certain thing. Put it in their instinct that they're to pollinate and carry out. And you swat at one of them for them to sting you. Tell you to stay back. We can't give up as Christians. There's no place. If a brother or sister gets down, what is our responsibility? To pick them up. Because that may be us the next time that's down that needs lifting also. But still bid them to come that God's house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. We see many today that are also of the house of Israel that have rejected Jesus. They still continue not to believe in Him as a Messiah. And many of them that are going to die lost. Because they have not accepted Jesus' supper. Not accepted His blood. Not entered into His kingdom. And friend, today if you're here, you may be in the same boat if you've not accepted Jesus. There is time and space to repent still while there's breath in the body. But when will the last breath be? As we heard of the man 54 years old. That's just 10 years older than I am. Maybe the age of some of you sitting there now. Who that morning probably didn't believe that he was going to be dying and leaving this world. No problems. No cares. And the next thing into an eternity. Into the hands of a just God. But if we die outside of Christ, there's no hope. Hell will be our home. And if that sounds scary to you, then friend, the place to find peace is in Jesus. In Jesus this morning. He's bidden, I beg you, I compel you. If you found your way into God's house this morning, it's not by accident or just a happenstance. If God has brought you here this morning and you have come to meet with Him, and He's calling you, He wants you to be saved. He wants to apply His blood to your life and make you new. But friend, you have to come and receive it. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, if Jesus is dealing with your heart now, today is the day of salvation. But you must come and ask Jesus to come into your life. If He's knocking, the next step is for you to open the door and ask Him to come in. For forgiveness of sin, that's why Jesus came. To teach us, to give us the pattern to live our life by. To encourage us as being servants of the Most High God. To go out and to compel the folks that's in the highways and the hedges to come into God's house. Please start inviting people for Vacation Bible School. Not just kids, adults too. We all need Vacation Bible School. If we have enough interest, we might have an adult class if enough of you want to. You let me know. I know there's many that work in Vacation Bible School and it about takes everybody. But there has been some interest before. But let's compel those that need to know Jesus to come into His house. show them His love. As we get a song of invitation ready this morning, friend, if you're here and you don't know Him as your Savior, there's no better time than now. If God's dealing with your heart, if you ask yourself the question, if I was to die right now, where would I go for eternity? If you can't say heaven because you've been saved, friend, I beg you to come and choose Jesus. I don't want to see you go to hell. I don't want your blood to be at my hands that I didn't tell you. Don't make excuses. Satan will provide them every way you turn if you let him. But just surrender. Surrender to Jesus. Allow Him to be the Lord of your life. If you do, you will not regret it. I've never met a Christian yet that said, "Boy, I wished I was lost. I wished I was lost." I've never seen one. Most of the answers are, "I don't know why I waited so long. I don't know why I waited so long." Friend, if Jesus is dealing, now is the time. Christians pray if there's one here that don't know Him that they'll surrender. As we stand to our feet, bow our heads.